state and local government and education at Google. He has 14 years of experience in enterprise software and service account management. Before joining Google in 2012, Jack spent 12 years with BMC Software, managing both SLED and commercial customers. Please welcome Jack O'Connell to the Cloud Developers Summit and Expo.
Where did you get all that information from? Nice. I'm just an account manager. Yeah, so good morning, everyone, and I appreciate that that introduction, Marty, and thank you very much for allowing us to participate in the event. By the way, when we were asked to participate, Marty said, "Hey, you know, get us, you know, if you're going to show some slides, be sure to get us your deck." We don't get decks at Google. We don't create files and pass them around. We create things in Google Docs. So this presentation, as an example, was created in Google Docs. And we as a team collaborated in developing this presentation. And we share access to the document and then pass things around using a URL. So when we access this presentation, all we needed was a web browser and off we go. So we're able to help our customers with collaboration and save on bandwidth relative to having to typically email very heavy files around and whatnot. So I'm the assigned account manager for state and local government and education here in Texas, and I also manage several surrounding states, and I office right here in Austin. And let me take a moment. I've invited a couple other folks to speak with me at this event as well. If you could just raise your hand, Chris Palmisano. Chris, likewise here in Austin, is a senior specialist for our Google Cloud Platform solution set and service, which will be is really a key focus of what we're here to discuss today. So Chris joins us, and then also Kyle Campbell. Kyle is a national account manager for our geospatial solutions, our cloud-based geospatial solutions, and Kyle will be speaking also. I'd like to note as well, Jim Scott is with our partner organization, Applied Geographics, and they provide cloud-based services for our Google Geospatial offering. So I'll spend just a couple of minutes talking a little bit about Google and the particular division that we work for, known as Google for Work, and then I'll pass it to Chris to talk a little bit about the cloud platform. So Google's overall mission is to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful. So every product or service that we develop, every company we acquire, every line of business has to adopt and organize around this mission. It is the common thread that binds the many, many things that we as a company do. And as you're probably aware at Google, we do a great many things. But there are some core underpinnings in addition to the mission that really drive and define us as a company and our culture. One is innovation. We are absolutely a company and an organization of innovators. Simplicity is another. We develop products and services that are easy to use, administer, and manage. And finally, scale. We are able to deliver on services that are able to scale at pretty unimaginable levels, quite frankly. If you consider, if this presentation I think will run for about an hour, in the next hour there'll be more than 50 million searches and queries on Google.com in 140 different languages. There'll be more than 150 million YouTube video downloads, and more than 100,000 Android activations, the first two of which are completely and, of course, managed on Google's global infrastructure. And then if you consider the global adoption of some of our core properties, Google Maps, what Kyle's going to be talking about, Google Maps and Earth, more than a billion monthly users of those services, the most used mobile application in the world. Gmail, over 750 million global users. Chrome, more than 800 million global users. So this level of adoption from a company that, yeah, we're in the news a lot, but we've only been publicly traded for the past 10 years and in existence for the past 15 years. So this kind of ties back into the mission and those core elements, the innovation and simplicity of the products and services that we develop. We are a company of data centers, for sure, and I'm sure as everyone here is well aware. We have a network of dozens of strategically located data centers around the world. There are six core data centers here in the United States, the closest of which is in Pryor, Oklahoma. I was actually there recently touring that facility with the state of Oklahoma CIO. Not that I'm, you know, it is rare that even Google employees are able to tour a Google data center. I'm not something special. It's just something that we were able to pull together. But these are very secure type facilities. And we weren't down on the floor, you know, turning knobs or anything, but it was a pretty awesome experience. We have more than 1 million servers deployed globally. And kind of a cool fact is we manufacture all of our own servers. So we are the fourth largest server manufacturer in the world, and we don't sell a single one of them. And we primarily do this for security reasons, but there's, of course, a cost figure associated with that. We're also the largest private fiber network provider in the world that's a non-ISP type organization. We have fiber cables spanning the Pacific, the Atlantic, and in multiple places around the world. So everyone that's here is part of a division known as Google for Work. So our mission is to take the very popular consumer-branded products and make them enterprise-ready and consumable in terms of security, certification, scalability, and functionality. So absolutely, we are a company that designs first and foremost for the consumer. And once we achieve a level of adoption and success, that's when we begin to migrate those products and services to our enterprise and government users. This strategy works very, very well for us. We're able to exercise on a capability known as work the way you live. So we hope you use our products at home and as a consumer. And if you do, we're able to bring that exact same experience to your agency and to your work and really deliver a seamless experience. So the way that you search for things at home, the way that you use our maps at home, the way that you use our apps at home, we're able to deliver that exact same experience at work with government agencies safely and securely. This is my final slide. These are the various product areas that we focus on, and clearly this is Cloud Developers Conference, so we are going to be focusing on the cloud services offering and our cloud-based geospatial offering in just a moment, so I won't speak to those here. But we do have an enterprise search capability. This is known, in fact, as the Google Search Appliance, for those of you who might not be aware of this product. So this is a server that houses the Google search logic and algorithms that can be deployed safely and securely within our customers' data centers. Not that Google's cloud isn't 100% secure, in our opinion, but this just happens to be a server-based offering. So you can deploy this in your data center, connect it to your data sense, to your content, to your applications, and deliver a Google.com-like search experience to your customers based on the unique way that they look for information, that they ask questions, et cetera. Google Apps, this is our 100% cloud-based office productivity, email, messaging, and collaboration solution. Our customers, we have multiple statewide customers of this solution. Millions of commercial interests use this product set. It enables our customers to move these commodity IT services to the cloud and focus on their core business, to manage this part of your business from a web browser and move away from expensive, complicated, heavy, requiring a lot of administration type products that probably exist within your data centers today. And then finally, devices. This is in fact a Chromebook right here, but we of course have a fleet of devices from a variety of partners. But a Chromebook is a low cost, high value notebook computer that is uber secure, boots in 8 seconds, doesn't require the standard patching, management, and administration of a Windows-based device. Cost a couple $100s per year, whereas Gartner says to acquire, manage, and maintain a Windows-based device could be $3,000 or more. So if you're trying to move parts of your business to the web and manage those parts of your business from a web browser, Chromebook is an awesome alternative for that. My final comment here is I've been involved in some of the presentations over here. There's clearly some awesome companies that have excellent products in their core areas. What I would submit to you is that when you look across this product set, and when you're considering an end-to-end user experience based on a web application or a mobile application, that no other company can really compete and deliver what Google can. If you consider the ubiquity of Android-based devices, starting with the device, where we have these awesome partnerships with a lot of companies out there. The types of operating systems that we're developing and delivering, Chrome OS and Android, the number one operating system in the world. The development environment that Chris is going to talk about. You can develop these applications on our infrastructure. We have infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, Google Cloud Storage, so you can do all your web application and mobile application development from a Google data center. You can have access to the broad range of technologies that Google brings to bear relative to these applications. Google likes search, all the geospatial products that Kyle's going to go over in just a moment by way of API, if you want to introduce Street View or anything else into your applications. Access to our SaaS offerings, like our enterprise file share and sync solution, Google Drive, and the other technologies that we bring to market. And publish these mobile applications on the Google Play Store. I mean, truly, Google is bringing the end-to-end experience like our competitors and other companies out there are unable to. I'm going to turn it over to Chris now to talk a little bit about Google Cloud Platform. And are there any questions relative to that introduction? Thank you.
Great. So good morning, everybody. My name is Chris Palmisano, and I was one of the first people on the Cloud Platform accounts team. I work out of here in Austin, and I look after our large key and strategic accounts in both the U.S. Central region and Canada. The Google Cloud Platform is our product suite that we offer up to developers so that they can build their own applications and run like Google. Google stores something on the order of 50 trillion URLs in the search index, and when you're solving problems at Google scale, it requires a different way of thinking, which has given us some unique competencies, and we're now taking those and taking a lot of our internal tools and wrapping them up into a product that we can give to developers to use to build their own apps. So our focus is on giving developers the opportunity to build and store, build their applications and store and analyze data on our platform using our services. A few things that are important to us is to win the developer experience, and we want to give developers a great experience and to be the platform of choice for SaaS providers, and whether that's mobile or web, and to help enterprises adopt big data and high-performance compute. But there's some things happening in the background that make this all possible. So what you're looking at here is just a quick graph of the economics of the cloud. So over time, it's actually far less expensive for us to continue to deliver the public cloud than it is for other organizations to continue to deploy private clouds, primarily because there are scale economics at play here. And if you think about it, Google running major data centers and lots of developers coming in and building in those data centers is more efficient than you building one and running it on your own. In addition to, you get to take advantage of all Google's experience and competencies that they've built over the years. So for the last 15 years, we've been building this incredibly robust network. And it's, we think, the largest and most robust network on the planet. We're the only cloud provider with transoceanic cables and fiber cables that connect the different continents. And our network really is unparalleled and also quite hardened. So from a security perspective, it's ideal for developers as well. And it's not something that we're taking lightly. So this is just a snapshot of a handful of articles that discuss how much Google's been investing from a capital expenditures perspective on its own. So to the order of $3 billion a quarter. And this is a key investment area. And if you think about it, in order for Google to continue to be a leader in technology, cloud is a space that we have to be in. And this is what we're talking about. So some history here. And people typically say, well, why Google? There's other providers. Why should I choose Google? And what's the story? Well, for us, it's really a history and a story of software innovation. So if we go back to when Google was started and we start thinking about the problems that Google was solving, it required, as I mentioned earlier, a different way of thinking. And anytime you're going to store data or do anything with data, you need two things. The first one is a file system. It's just a way of organizing information, and then a method to process the data. So you can think about it like you would a filing cabinet. You have your filing cabinet and you have your file folders. And then you probably have some sort of alphabetized system to drop those folders into the filing cabinet. Well, that's not terribly different than software and storing data. So with data, the file system would be like your folders, and then the method of processing would be like putting them in there in alphabetical order. So Google needed to create something new because they were indexing and storing so much data. So we created the Google File System and then a technology called MapReduce. And I know this is a technical audience, so you probably know what this stuff is already. But MapReduce, if you're not familiar with it, is just Google's version of Hadoop. So if you want to be the sexy person at the next dinner party, you drop the term Hadoop. This came from Google. This is something that we've invented. And these are technologies that we've released over the years. Dremel is also on the list. That's something that we now take to market in a product called BigQuery, which is a big data analysis engine. So when people ask, really, why Google? The answer is our history of software innovation. This is core to who we are. So cloud is really nothing more than IT infrastructure. You can really describe it that simply. And Jack mentioned we have SaaS applications and application services, platform as a service offerings, and infrastructure as a service offerings. The cloud platform that I represent is focused on those infrastructure as a service offerings and the platform as a service offerings. And so what exactly are they, and what's the difference between the two? Because these terms get thrown around quite a bit in industry. So a software as a service application is nothing more than a provider delivering you the entire experience and taking care of all of the technology so that all a user has to do is log on and compose and send an email or compose an advertising campaign and run the ad campaign. With a platform as a service, the developer has a few decisions to make. They have to, one, first build their application and then decide what to do with the data. But the rest of it is handled by Google. To use a computer science term, we abstract away everything else that you have to worry about, and we make these tools easy for the developer to use through APIs. And then a full infrastructure as a service offering, the developer has a few additional choices to make. So the trade-off here is really about control and decision making. So for infrastructure as a service, there's a few other things you have to choose. What language you can use at runtime, you can use any middleware, and then typically you have to choose an operating system. Now, we have products that fit each one of these categories, but some of the reasons why you want to consider them in the first place is it can save you time and it can save you money. And it can allow you to focus on your application instead of worrying about hardware or worrying about all of these other issues. Those are our core competencies. Let us worry about that while you focus on your app. And scale. We mentioned scale earlier. Google deploys, the last presenter was talking about Docker and put up a Docker container and walked you through what the Python YAML file looks like. And Google deploys something on the order of 2 billion containers a week. And when you think about scale, 50 trillion URLs in the index, 500 million Gmail accounts, 5 million Google Apps accounts, and over 5 million applications running on just App Engine. And on any given day, over half of the IP addresses in the world hit an App Engine application. So if you're really worried about scale, there's really only one choice. But this is something that our developers can take advantage of. And then, of course, you want to focus on what it is you do well, which is building your product. And the products, we break them up into three primary categories: compute, storage, and application services, which also includes big data. So on the compute side, and I'm just going to run through these quickly, Compute Engine is our infrastructure as a service offering. If you're familiar with EC2 from Amazon or the Rackspace Cloud, we have a product in this space as well. And Compute Engine is a system that allows you to spin up virtual machines and then you can come on in and build your own stack. And App Engine is our platform as a service offering. And App Engine, what I love about App Engine is you don't have to worry about anything except really writing your code in three or four different languages that we support. But if for some reason you are going to build in an application that we don't support at runtime natively, we can launch you on something called a managed virtual machine, which gives you some additional control and kind of is a bit of a bridge between an infrastructure and a platform offering. Storage. We've got a couple of different options. Billing for massive scale at Google scale requires required a different type of database, which is where NoSQL or NoSQL came from. So we have a NoSQL offering. We also have a Google Cloud or Google Cloud SQL offering, which is just like MySQL, but runs in the cloud. And then cloud storage is your object or blob store. And then for application services, I mentioned Dremel earlier, which if you think about Dremel, you're going to drill down into the data. BigQuery is our big data engine. And if you're, we talked about Hadoop or MapReduce, which is the pipeline to get your data into a format that you can ingest into BigQuery. But this is a tool that's used to drill into billions and billions and billions of rows of data in just a few seconds. It's parallelized and uses as much infrastructure as is necessary to process a query of any size in just a few seconds. And the technology keeps getting better and better, and we're almost at the point where you can do real-time big data analysis, which is pretty cool. And then the last one, Cloud Endpoints, is a wonderful tool that allows you to spin up and build client libraries for your mobile applications quite simply. So that's really what I wanted to cover in just about 7 or 8 slides. I could talk for days about this stuff, so I'd like to open it up to questions to the floor to see if there's anything in particular that we can address for you. Okay, well, I think you know where to find. Sure. Yeah, we do. So Docker is a partner of ours. Compute Engine is a great place to run Docker. But Google has also built something called Kubernetes. And we've built a consortium around Kubernetes, which is an organization that's going to work to enhance the capabilities, which you can think about as like Docker or a container on steroids with a whole bunch of extra features and functionality. And it's the way Google would approach containers. Other questions? Great. I think Kyle Campbell's going to come up next from our geospatial team and walk you through some of our geo applications.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for giving us time to talk to you today. Again, my name is Kyle Campbell, and I cover the geospatial product set here at Google for state and local and education for the U.S., and work very closely with these two gentlemen here in town. So we'll talk a little bit about geospatial today and what we do in the cloud from a geospatial perspective, but I'm going to back up just a second and talk to you a little bit about our goal as a company is to organize the world's data and make it easily accessible to everyone. On the geospatial team, which I'm on at Google, we have the same goal, but our goal is to take all of the map data and maps and make it easily accessible to the world. One of the ways we are working on accomplishing this is a new platform we launched earlier this year called Google Maps Gallery. If you haven't checked it out, just Google it. You can get there pretty quick. It's a really great platform for collaboration and sharing. You can see just some screenshots here of some different maps that different organizations around the globe have shared in here. We have some competitive companies in this space, like ESRI, have created their own sharing areas. The only issue there is that they require software to do that, and as Jack mentioned, pretty much everything we do, you can do from a browser. You don't have to be a GIS specialist. You don't have to have software. You just launch your browser and go to the site. And these are just technology magazines' comments about it. Really, you could view this as a YouTube for maps. But it's a great place to get some really neat content. So if you're ever looking for a map on demographics or things of that nature, really great place to visit. I encourage you to check it out. So as a company, Google gives a lot of things away for free. Being on the sales side at Google, I think one of the things that Jack and I often maybe get a little frustrated about is we go in and customers are using a lot of products for free. So You know, we talk to them about the benefits of our enterprise versions of these platforms, but the on the free side of the house, if you will, we've been offering our Maps APIs for years to state and local, to corporate customers. The main requirement there is that as long as the map is fully accessible to the world, you can use our APIs for free. There could be advertising in them, so that's one thing to be aware of. You know, if you are going over a specific amount of usage, it's 25,000 map loads per day, then you would require a license. We do give free grants away to higher ed. In fact, University of Texas and several other universities in the area are using our Google Maps Engine platform. So very charitable in that respect. And I mentioned Maps Gallery. Crisis.org is another area that I'll talk a little bit about in Maps because it has a really good impact on state and local government, and as well as transit maps. When you open up Google Maps and you want to get directions on your Android, iOS, whatever type of device, you'll probably notice now that we have multiple types of directions. We have walking directions, bike directions. We bring bike paths in. In fact, we work with the city of Austin and many other municipalities around the US to import in parks and different locations. Our goal is to get as much data into that map and give the best experience for the constituents and consumers out there. But we also partner with transit. So Cap Metro, many of the metropolitan transit agencies around the globe we partner with, and their schedules are actually in Google Maps. So pretty interesting stuff there. But I'll talk for a second about crisis.org. Anytime there's a large disaster, Haiti, the Moore tornadoes, the tornadoes in Alabama a few years ago, we have a group within Google called crisis.org that jumps into action. The disaster has certain criteria that it has to meet, but at that point, we have a lot of charitable things we do. We have a site where you can go and find relatives, where you can check in, but we also offer a crisis map, which is very helpful to state and local government. A great example was during, and these are just some of the, a map of some of the responses we've responded to over the past several years. Hurricane Sandy was a great example where the state of New York was running their website with their maps and their shelter locations and fueling stations on premise. And what a great advertisement for cloud. The site crashed. They couldn't handle the enormous amount of traffic. The crisis.org team collaborated with the state. We took all of that data. We shared data with a lot of state and local entities and put it up on the crisis site, and we're getting 18 million hits a day. And, you know, we didn't go down. So that's one of the real big benefits for state and local is just the immense compute power and reliability and stability. But crisis.org is something that we're really proud of. And, you know, it, again, continues to respond to a lot of the big disasters around the globe. So I think one of the things Jack and some of the other speakers throughout the few days that have been here from Google have talked about is taking the applications that you're used to using in your personal life, like Gmail, Google Maps, and the like, and taking those to the enterprise. And so we have a saying here at Google called work the way you live. In fact, the enterprise team at Google, we actually renamed ourselves recently to Google for Work. And when you think about maps, which is an area where I'm pretty passionate about and focus in, you know, the old Rand McNally, the old paper map here, it wasn't long ago that this is how most people interface with GIS. And back in 2005, we started in the maps world, bringing electronic maps to the masses. Fast forward to today, you know, I would argue that you know, Google's probably played the most significant role in bringing electronic maps to the masses. And we have the numbers to back that up. Jack had mentioned earlier, we have well over a million websites and applications using our APIs. We actually have the largest developer community for maps in the world. And well over a billion monthly active users of our maps technologies. We found out a couple, well, about a year and a half ago when our friends at Apple launched Maps that, you know, there was a big uprising. When we rebuilt Maps for the newer version of iOS late that year, we broke all sorts of records in the App Store as the most downloaded app in one day, the most downloaded app ever. And as Jack mentioned, we are Google Maps is the most popular app out there. So being able to handle the tremendous amount of data out there from our customers is certainly is something that is top of mind here at Google. A couple facts for you. We are actually the fourth largest hardware manufacturer, and we are our own customers. So from a hardware perspective, we build our own servers, we build our own switches. I've talked to several engineers that have mentioned that back in the day, we went to Cisco and Juniper and asked them for certain types of switches, and they said, well, why would we build that? You'd be the only customer for us. So we've had to build a lot of that. I think Jack pointed out some of the statistics about the amount of data that's uploaded to our system. But again, it's just creating an infrastructure that's resilient and capable of handling our customers' needs. And we continue to push the envelope. In my realm, in geospatial, we launched a platform called Google Earth Engine recently, and a lot of folks in education are taking advantage of the immense compute power that we have. So if you look on the left side there, University of California at San Francisco is actually using Earth Engine to predict the spread of malaria. So there's some really interesting opportunities when you take geospatial data, a lot of horsepower that we have to offer, and run those types of computations. The other things that we've done on the geospatial side is that we've actually uploaded all of the Landsat information over the past, 30, 40 years, which we're talking about petabytes of data. This is all satellite imagery that has been out there available by USGS and a lot of the geospatial groups. And I'll just give you a view of some of the... Let me jump out here. Bless you. So this is a view of Earth Engine and just the tar sands up in Canada, just the sprawling. So taking the satellite imagery and the ability to do modeling, complex modeling, is something that you have to have a lot of horsepower and infrastructure to accomplish. So we have a lot of examples on our site, on the Earth Engine site. You can look at the Amazon rainforest. You can look at the Amazon River. But it's really interesting. But there's some really great lessons that can be learned from this, and something that our government customers are currently leveraging. So other things that are really exciting here at Google, especially on the geospatial front, we just acquired a company called Skybox. For those of you that are not familiar with Skybox, Skybox is a company that has created a very affordable satellite imagery platform. The satellites are much smaller than traditional satellites, yet they provide a very, very accurate image. And over the next few years, we'll be launching multiple satellites. And the goal basically is to provide imagery for our customers. It's a little bit over a foot resolution, still pictures, as well as HD video. We have a lot of customers that are extremely excited about this technology. The ability to actually task satellites up until this point has been very expensive. And mainly the federal agencies have been the ones that have had access to this. But this is something we'll be able to take to more state and local government entities at a very aggressive price point. You can imagine after a hurricane or after a flood or tornado, being able to get pictures that are very fresh and, more importantly, quickly is very important to first responders and emergency management types, because they have to bring in resources and they can see which roads are impassable as well as where the brunt of the damage has been done. So we're real excited about the acquisition of Skybox here at Google. Some other things that we're also bringing to market for our state and local customers is the Google imagery. When you go into a Google map, we have four types of imagery. We have satellite imagery, which is the highest level when you flip over to the Earth view. As you zoom in, you'll notice the picture gets clear and it's a top-down image. That's called an ortho image, and that's actually the offering that we're offering now as a service. It's a 6-inch resolution. The map here, screenshot you see, is actually the coverage area of the United States. So we have many petabytes of data. We've actually flown with our own planes or our own equipment all 48 states, and we have all 48 states at a 6-inch resolution, What's really exciting for our government customers is that we refresh this imagery in the major metros about every year, but at the least every 3 years. So it's kind of like the Verizon commercial where you see the coverage map. If you would look at the maps of other players in this space, they would be very spotty and small, but it's the huge effort that we've done here at Google to keep this imagery fresh. Other types of imagery that we also have in our maps are oblique imagery, which is at a 45 degree angle. So you'll notice if you zoom in on Austin, you can actually see a tilt to the buildings. And then street view is also another type of imagery. You'll continue to see the cars coming around more and more in most of the major metropolitan areas. But as far as our cloud offering, you know, on the geospatial side, we have Google Maps Engine over there on the left-hand side. Google Maps Engine is a cloud-based platform designed specifically for geospatial type file formats. With that, we also have the Google Cloud Platform. Down at the bottom there, we have our imagery as a service offering. And then over to the right, we have the Google Maps APIs, which are available to the public out there. So combining all of these, we have some really exciting opportunities. And some of you all might have came in yesterday to view the TxDOT presentation, but I think they're probably the best local example of a customer that had some significant problems scaling, came to Google, and we were able to step up with the help of our friends from AppGeo. Again, just a real quick review. The Texas Department of Transportation has a site called Drive Texas. It's where they put road conditions up, and their goal with this site is to provide evacuation information in the time of a hurricane, should it hit Houston, or any type of disaster. The site that they were running with legacy GIS and other types of platforms was only able to support about 300 concurrent users, which is totally unacceptable, right? I mean, 300 people, that wouldn't cover San Marcos, right? So they came to us back in April, knowing that hurricane season starts June 1, along with our partner AppGeo, and said, we want to take this to the Google Cloud, but we want you to prove to us that you can handle a tremendous amount of load. And so we, along with our partners, built this site. I encourage you to check it out on your phone, tablet, or PC, which, again, that's one of the benefits of all of our platforms, including Geo, is that we run perfectly on all types of devices. We handle the scaling and all that kind of thing. And so they stress tested us. They hired a company called Soasta. The agreement was that if we could handle 10,000 queries per second, that they would move forward with our solution. They took it up to 20,000. They took it up to 50. All the way up to 100,000 queries per second. We had about 0.53 millisecond latency, which is really fast response time, even at the 100,000 queries per second. So for TxDOT, this was a game changer for them. They were able to move a lot of the requirements offsite and into our cloud. This site is running Google Maps Engine, and it's being hosted in the Google Cloud, and it connects to their legacy GIS Esri software. When you see the login screen on the upper right-hand corner there, it actually shows the timestamp when they pull the data from their legacy GIS. And these are just some screenshots from a mobile device, but again, I encourage you to check it out. Go to drivetexas.org on your phone, tablet, or PC. And so that's it. This wasn't from the Austin office, but we do tend to have a good time at Google. I'll open it up for any questions regarding maps. All right. Thank you all very much.